we're going to look at how we can straighten out our way to the Lord. And it's really the second part. I really hate that I had to stop this morning. I just felt, for time constraint, I would have had to go for another 30 minutes, 45 minutes this morning if I was going to continue the message. And that's just long. And so I felt like it had to be split in half in order to finish it up. It is very important to the Lord that we turn our ways into His way. And we're going to see, as we finish up these last few messages on revival and on returning to God, we're going to see that honestly, the Lord is waiting to revive His people. I mean, when we sit back and we say, can the Lord have revival today? Can we have revival today? You know, the question is not, can we have revival, but will we have revival? The Lord is waiting there. It's like sitting back and saying, you know, can the Lord save so-and-so? The Lord can save anybody. His arm is not weakened, it's not short that He cannot save. He can stretch out there and He can reach over there and He can save anyone. There's no one the Lord cannot save. But the question is, will people be saved? You know, is America, are our churches, are our Christians willing to do what it takes to make their paths straight to the Lord? In Hebrews chapter 12, I don't have it up here, but verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make the path straight, or paths for your feet, right, straight paths for your feet, pardon me, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." And so there we see that we have to make the paths straight as possible, as clean as possible, for those who have a problem, those who are lame, those who are weak, we have to pick up and carry. And this is a very important thing because we have to make sure that we don't put obstacles in our way to getting back to the Lord. We need the road to be as clear as it possibly can. If that means that a tree limb falls out over the road, we have to move the tree limb out of the way. The more clutter we collect in between our way back to the Lord, the harder it is to get back to the Lord. Now, I believe that we have a great benefit today of technology. There are some things that are beneficial in technology. My computer, for instance, I have a Bible program that's free. I have all sorts of commentaries that if I were to go out there and buy those commentaries in book form, it would cost me probably $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 to buy all those commentaries in book form. Once I have them in book form, the print is about 6.6 font. You know, it's a very small font. And I have these big old books I have to read and read and read and read. I can do the same thing on my computer. It's amazing. But there are also dangers. Social media, it's amazing. You know, there's things out there. I have a preacher that sends me a scripture verse every day. I have another preacher that sends me a scripture verse every Sunday morning. And he puts a little picture with it and just sends a message to me every morning. I have a well-known pastor that I met one time, and he sends me a message every week, just telling me he's praying for me. Brother Fiza sends me a message every week or two, just let me know that he's praying for me. And I have different, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. But it's dangerous too. So if we use things correctly, it's a good thing. But I've heard a lot of people get into fights on those things and get into battles with different things. And so we have to make sure that we don't allow anything to get in the way of where the Lord wants to take us. I told you this morning that there are seven things, or some of them are not things, but people, but that we need to use to get back to the Lord. The first one is not going to be surprising at all. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 26, the Bible says, "Unto you first God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from His iniquities." I say this all the time. And I feel like sometimes I say things and no one ever pays attention to them, but I'm going to say it again. You cannot get your life right with God without God. You cannot do anything without the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and strength. You can't, I can't preach, you can't teach, you can't take offering, not correctly, you can't vacuum the floors at church, you can't tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you can do without His power. And that includes getting right with the Lord. Okay? He's the one that has taken and turned you away from your iniquities. I really feel like that's one thing I say about the Bible. I have no problem standing up and saying the King James Bible is the Word of God, because sometimes they'll come up with translations and they're weak on the virgin birth, or they're weak on the deity of Christ, and they change some verses around. And I found this to be true, is that whatever says that Jesus Christ is the Son of God the loudest, that's where I should go. Because you know what? You cannot overemphasize the Lord Jesus Christ and His need in your life. You know, it's just like I sat outside this morning, and I read a little story about a pastor and how that someone at church said, we're going to give, and we're going to ruin ourselves. And he was saying, you know, no church ever served God and destroyed themselves because they served God. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, you cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have too much of His power. I have had two or three people tell me this in the last few weeks. I'm trying to ease into things at church. Don't ease into things. Go whole hog. You know, if you're going to serve the Lord, serve Him with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. You notice that Paul went from being a persecutor of Christians to a preacher of Christ immediately. I mean, as soon as he knew what to do, he started doing it. You know, there is nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt ease into it. If you're going to die doing something, let it be something good like serving the Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you realize that our sin as a believer, our sin is not our sin alone. It's not our iniquity alone. Jesus Christ died for that iniquity. He purchased it on the cross. He never intended us to go through the Christian life by ourselves in our own strength and in our own power. If you can't save yourself, you can't live for the Lord Jesus Christ either. You can't live for God without the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen that way. Romans 11, 26 to 27. So all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now we can sit back and say, well, the Lord's going to take away our sins in the future. And I understand that the idea that one day we're not going to be a sinner. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You won't have that flesh that's sinning anymore. That's a promise. But the power of sin, what about the power of sin today? See, sin does not have to have power over us. You know, there's a little chorus we sing, Christ is all I need, all I need, all I need. We have to remember that that is true. Christ is all I need. There are so many things that I believe, I think, I need, and I don't actually need them. You go out there and you say, well, I have to have my coffee in the morning. You do not have to have your coffee in the morning. You can live without coffee in the morning. You see, by then, I knew a guy at Leesburg. He used to drink probably 10 sodas a day. He bounced off the wall. That's a lot of sodas. He used to say, I have to have my caffeine. Have to have my sodas. You do not have to have your caffeine and your sodas. Okay? My doctor told me, he said, hey, I liked my sodas. He says, I don't have sodas anymore. He says, every now and then I have sodas. But he says, you don't have to have them to live. Water, water, water. The body needs water. Okay? I say that. It's not anything wrong with drinking something else, but I'm telling you something. We sit back there and we say, I have to have it. I know of young people, as soon as we don't let them play music on the bus. They can't do little ear bobs and everything else. But you know, as soon as they get off that bus, pop goes the ear bob. They have to have their music. They have to. But you know what? That then controls what they think, and it controls their emotion. It controls their heart. That becomes their passion. You know, we need to listen to the still small voice. And we can't hear Him if we put everything else in our life. Try to fill up every minute with noise. And there's a wonderful blessing of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and making sure that we will listen to Him. That's the first thing. Second thing is, we need to have searching. Psalm 119, verse 59 says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You see, it's easy for me, excuse me, it's easy for me to sit back and say, why are they tearing down statues to George Washington? That's crazy. I'm sure George Washington wasn't a perfect person, but if it wasn't for George Washington, we would have had a king. They would have anointed George king of America. George Washington is the one that determined that he would not have anyone be a king in our country. It was also his decision to only have two terms. And that stayed in place. That was self-honored by every president until we got to FDR, who had, I believe, four terms. After that, they decided that we're going back to two terms. Okay, but just a little history lesson. Why tear down the father of our nation? George Washington valiantly fought for us to have freedom. So it's easy for me to sit back and think upon other people's ways and say, that is crazy. That's just crazy. It's easy for me to look at other people's lives and say, what they're doing is completely contrary to what God wants. But look at what David said. This is David. The apple of God's eye. The king. From which the king would follow. And David said, I thought on my ways. You see, it's not about what someone else is doing. It's about what I'm doing. You see, we have to have a searching, a self-examination of our life. Look in Lamentations. This is Jeremiah. Like I said this morning, after Jerusalem fell, he said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Now, this is Jeremiah after the enemy was coming into the city and taking and killing people randomly. There was terror in the streets. Jeremiah was sitting up on the hillside there because Jeremiah was protected. He was safe. And Jeremiah was sitting there and he was looking at his city, watching it burn. Have you seen the pictures of Minneapolis and just the areas that have been destroyed, graffiti everywhere, and it looks like a war zone. Jeremiah is looking at a literal war zone. A horrific siege has taken place there. He's watched his nation now fall to Babylon. And this is what he says. Look at those words. Let us search and try our ways. Now, Jeremiah had told them we need to submit to God. He told them that all through this period of time. But he's sitting there and he's looking at a nation now completely robbed of all of its pride. And looks at them and says, you know what maybe we ought to do? Maybe we ought to search and try our ways, and maybe we ought to turn back to God. Now, if America is wise and will listen, America will turn back to God. But if America is not wise and won't listen, things are going to get worse in America. And you know what our message needs to be? We need to turn back to God. And if things get worse than that, and America falls from being a first-tier world nation, and we become a third-world nation, America needs to turn back to God. See, there's no other answer for America but the fact that we need to consider our ways and we need to turn back to God. You have to make sure that you consider your ways in your life. It's fine and dandy. You sit back and say, hey, you know what, preacher? I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have a good job. I'm going to have a good retirement. I'm going to have everything's going to be fine in my life. But it doesn't matter whether you are 7 years old or 70 years old. It does not matter. Are your ways what God wants your ways to be? A good example of this, my daughter has no choice whatsoever on what her ways are going to be right now. I mean, she can choose some ways in her life, but she has very limited paths. Right? Now, whether she submits to that or not, that's a whole other issue. But I'm going to tell you something. What about us? Here you are, an adult. You can do whatever you want to do. Have you submitted your ways to God? Have you honestly said, let me think upon my ways and turn to the Lord? Okay. I know I'm preaching to people who are sitting in the pews tonight. But I want to make sure that all of our ways are His ways. All of our thoughts need to be His thoughts. And this is David. And this is Jeremiah. Two great men in the Bible that said, you know what? We need to search and try our ways. We need to figure out if what we're doing is right, and then we need to turn again to the Lord because we're not doing something right. This is not what God intends for us to be. This is not what God intends for our nation to be. We need to make sure we have a searching. We need to make sure we have a humility. In Jonah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, he preaches there, but let man and beast be covered. The king, remember the king humbled himself, be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works. We have the works of humility. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray for our nation. But we need to humble ourselves. People sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not willing to suffer that. We need to humble ourselves. You know, through all this time, I don't care about that. But I was always concerned that if I were to get sick, it would mess up things at church. You know, because I was afraid that if I got sick, no one would come to church. Or a good portion of people wouldn't. Because they would be scared, then we had the coronavirus here. Now we find out it's not contact, but it's person to person. They keep changing the rules all along. But you know, honestly, I could care less about it. If the Lord wants me to get sick, I'm going to get sick. If He wants me to die, I'm going to die. If He wants to take care of me, He'll take care of me. But we cannot allow ourselves to have all of our judgment clouded because of something that may or may not ever happen to us. Let us have humility. You say, well, you're the pastor of a church. You know what happens if the pastor of this church dies? Another pastor will come along and things will go on at church. This isn't my church. You know, and people sit back and say, well, if it wasn't for me, don't go down that road. We've had people at church before me, and there might have been someone here when I was here, but I mean, we've had people at church before me, and a man one time, I know he told my dad, he says, hey, I pay most of the tithes at church. If I walk out that door, this church closes. One day he walked out the door, and guess what? The church is still here. You cannot live your life that way. Right? We cannot live like that for God. The Lord takes care of us. He takes care of this church. And you know what's amazing? I sit back and I look at the missionaries, and this is just a drop in the bucket of the number of missionaries we have. And I look back at the missionaries and I say, oh Lord, give us more so we can give more. Let us touch souls and hearts. There are thousands of souls won every week because of this church and because of its ministry and because of its mission-mindedness, because of its care for missions and things like that. And not just the people that are won to the Lord around here. I'm sure there are people run around here with tracts sometimes we don't even know about. But I'm going to tell you, we need to make sure that we never forget that we are just used of God. We need to humble ourselves. Number four. Told you there's seven things. We're moving along. Obedience. Psalm 119 verse 60 says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Obedience is not always about the task getting done. It's about how you do the task. See, Sarah may do what she's supposed to do, but it may not be an obedient way that she does it. David said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. We need to obey. When should we obey? Obey immediately. Okay? We have to, if we're going to be obedient to the Lord, we need to do it immediately. Some people sit back and they say, well, preacher, I know I need to do that, but I'm young right now, I'm going to sow my wild oats, and then when I get older, then I'll serve God. It doesn't work that way. Solomon, remember him? Wisest man on the earth, and yet, as he got a little bit older, he had an eye for the women. Messed him up. He sold out his God for girls. And then as he got older, he realized how foolish that was. And he turned back to the Lord. By that time, it was too late in this respect. God had already decided he was going to rend the kingdom out of his son's hands. And he did. And what was Solomon's words of wisdom as he was an old man looking back upon his life? He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Isn't it something that we sit back there and we say, oh, later, 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 later. Yet immediately. Today is the day of salvation. When should people come and get saved? They should get saved immediately. It doesn't matter where they're at. I've found out sometimes I have these ideas for messages come into my mind. If I don't write them down, I'll forget them. This is something else I'm trying to do, but if the Lord lays someone on my heart and I feel like I should talk to them, I stop what I'm doing and I call them. Like I did tonight. Or if I feel like the Lord just lays in my heart and need to pray for him, I stop and pray for him right then. And you would be surprised how many times I'll have someone come and tell me, boy, I was having a hard day on such and such day. And the Lord really turned that around. And I sit back there in my mind and I know, you know what? That was just exactly when I prayed for them. It's amazing. I don't ever tell them that. But it's amazing to me. The Lord does things for my benefit. It's not because I did it, but let me tell you, what would have happened if I hadn't been obedient to what the Lord wanted me to do? What would happen if God's people aren't obedient? Jeremiah 26:3, and if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil ways. We have to obey the Lord. We have to hearken to him. We have to listen to him. Respond to what he's telling us. I don't really know if I ever consider a message a good message because it's got good points. Sometimes I think some messages that I preach have got wonderful points. Sometimes I think I did a pretty good job on that message. I mean, I think I said everything the way I should have said it. But then when the invitation comes, nothing happens. I tell you what, I'd rather have a lousy message and lousy points and have a people that hearken unto the Lord. I'd rather have everything be in the invitation. Because to me, the invitation is the most important part of the entire service. It doesn't matter what else is done. It doesn't matter what else is said or what's sung. If we don't obey God, we need to hearken unto Him. Jeremiah 35, verse 15, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings. Go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Oh, we need to amend our ways. We need to change our ways. I found out years ago, I tried to do a little dabble in gardening. I found out that I can raise vegetables, a lot more expensive vegetables, than what I can buy in the store. Part of my problem is this. Okay, you can't just plant seeds in the ground. You have to amend your soil. I finally made a decision. My wife has wanted to put shrubs out at our house for a long time. She's always wanted us to have some plants. We never could come into an agreement over what we wanted, how we wanted to design things. And all of a sudden, when everything got locked down, I told my wife, I said, here's what I'd like to do. And she said, I like that. I said, okay, we're going to do that. But I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to run irrigation line all the way around the house so that way I can water every plant every single day or whenever it needs to get water, but I have complete control. I have little tiny valves on everything. It's not the cheapest way of doing it, But I know this, if I run a garden hose around, I'll never water it. Not every day. I'll forget. There's a guy down the street, he has a nice, beautiful fence he put in, and he planted shrubs all the way around the fence. These big, nice, beautiful shrubs. And then we had 100-degree weather hit. His shrubs, all the leaves are dragging down and wilting, and I thought, oh, he's going to lose all of those shrubs that he planted. He's got a water hose right next to it. But who wants to go out and water in 100-degree weather when you just get home? Mine goes off 9 o'clock in the morning, every morning. Dink. Dink. All through this weather, my shrubs have stayed as green as they ever were. My flowers are blooming. Everything's wonderful. Because I did it right. We have to learn to be obedient to the Lord and do it right. We have to amend our soil. We have to amend our ways. We have to correct who we are. We have to get the right soil. When this is how I used to take it. If you got a shrub, you dig a hole, you stick the shrub down in the hole. You cover it up with whatever dirt's there. Dad says, son, you've got to put soil around it. If you do that, it'll grow better. So this time, I went out and got soil. You know? And I don't remember what it was. Well, he said you can get a mix, but I just went ahead and got one that was already pre-mixed because I didn't know what to do with what. And I went out there, and I put that out there, and I took and dug a hole bigger than what the little bucket was. And then I planted it in there, and I put new soil in there, and I mixed it with a little bit of the sandy soil. And you know my shrubs grow fine when you amend your ways. Once you amend things, things do what they're supposed to do. Well, I don't know why I'm not having the blessings of God rain down upon. Amend your ways. Do what's right. Okay? Does this mean that your family is always going to do right? No. But you know what? I should have peace in my life. I remember my wife one time, we'd fallen into a trap with Sarah. She was a little girl then. And we'd fallen into a trap of doing whatever Sarah wanted to do. Just whatever Sarah wanted to do, we were doing it. And we were basically grandparents. Okay? That's what grandparents do. I have to remind Sarah sometimes, I say, I did not grow up with Emma and Papa. I did not grow up with your grandpa and grandma. My wife did not grow up with her grandpa and grandma. When she was little, she had a mom and a dad. And I had a mom and dad. I didn't have, you know, right? And things are different. Sarah, my dad, when I was a kid, I had a playground. I had one from Walmart, $99, $149, whatever it was. It had a swing set on it. That's it. Okay? Sarah, when you have a playground, Papa builds you one that's larger than the one that was in Sumterville. Okay? It's got two slides. It's got three, four different ways of climbing up it. It's got a swing, a sky curve. It's fun. Okay? It's a lot of fun. But Papa didn't do that when I was a kid. Different. Okay? When I was a kid, when I wanted a bike, Papa got me his old bike. We painted it. We fixed it up. I had a bike. He rides a golf cart. He buys a golf cart, or used one, right? But he drives you around a golf cart. I didn't have a golf cart. That's because different times, right? He'd do anything for you. And Mom's the same way. That woman take you to Dollar Tree every day. You know, when she wouldn't take her to Dollar Tree when she was little, no. She'd say, you ain't spending money. No, you don't need it. But she's got you, Dollar Tree, right? It's just different. You understand? Okay. I have to tell you these things. We got into this bad habit of just giving her whatever it is that she wanted. My wife looked miserable one day. We sat outside on a little table there. Sarah was out playing. And she said to me, I'm not enjoying being a parent. I'm fighting with Sarah on things. And she said, something has got to change. I said, let's do it right now. Let's fix it. I said, we know it needs to fix. I said, let's fix it right now. I said, Sarah. She came, you know, running over. I said, Sarah, I said, this is not your fault. But I said, you are going to suffer because of it. I said, we're no longer going to give you whatever it is that you want. I said, we're going to tell you no. I said, we've got to correct these bad habits. She had to amend her ways. Do you know what's amazing is? When we put the relationship right, you know, what's sad is we don't get to enjoy just being grandparents to Sarah. But the grandparents get to enjoy us being parents to Sarah. They appreciate that more. Okay? Kristen, listen to this. You need this one day. Okay? Be a good mom. Everyone else in your family will enjoy it. Okay? It will. Trust me. It's hard on you. One time you'll enjoy it. Trust me. Okay? Sarah, you listen to that. One day you're going to be a mom. When you're a mom, you be a mom. Don't be a grandma. Be a mom. And then one day you get to be a grandma and you get to have a good time. You know, we have to amend our ways, make our ways right with the Lord so that we can be in the right relationship with Him. Otherwise, we won't appreciate it. Won't enjoy it. Well, next thing. Where we at? Number five? We're getting close. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know what? We do not have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit today that we ought to. People don't listen to the Holy Spirit. They don't listen to where they're supposed to go. And I really feel like sometimes people have no ammunition, which we'll get to at the end, have no ammunition for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to them because they're not walking with God. If you're not talking to the Lord and you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible, then when the Holy Spirit, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Now, it's harder, I know, for some people to be able to read the Bible. Right? We had a man one time and he had a hard time reading. It's hard for him to read a lot of the Bible. But you know, today, we have tapes in the office there of the Bible. You can listen to a tape. Okay, no one has tapes anymore. We thought about buying CDs, but it's not even necessary anymore. You can go online, you can download them onto your computer. Someone reading the Word of God. If you have a hard time hearing, or hard time, reading, you can get the Bible, and you can turn it on and you can listen to it. It's amazing. I mean, it's free. If ever there was a time in which people ought to have it, I have the audio Bible on my phone, right here in my pocket. I go out to the garage sometimes I do Romans, especially as I'm teaching through Romans. I'll just put Romans on, Romans 1, and as I'm doing something, it'll read all the way through Romans. You say, do you listen to every single word that's said? Probably not, but it's better me listening to that than it is listening to some other sort of nonsense. Okay? We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to His leading. One day, a man saw, I think it was D.L. Moody, but I could be wrong. But he saw D.L. Moody standing out in the middle of the street. He'd walked out in the middle of the street, and he just got up to the middle, and he just stopped. They ran out there, and they said, are you okay? And he says, yes, I'm fine. He said, I got to the middle of the street, and he said, I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to go this way or if the Lord wanted me to go that way, and I was just waiting to figure out. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, I want to be so near to God that he said, I can say, I love you, Lord. And he says, I know, Charles. I know. Do you know, that's the way we ought to want to be. We ought to want to have that nearness, that closeness. My dad says this all the time. You know, people always sit there and they pray for the power of God. They pray for the power of God. But you know, we just need the presence of God, don't we? The Bible doesn't tell us that we need to pray for the fruit of the Spirit. We just need to have the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to work. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. If we want to have love, joy, peace, etc., then we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. At what part of a day when you have someone pull out in front of you and you start shaking your fist in anger at them, are you showing forth the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the voice that's behind you? Walk in it. Do what's right. Now listen to me. I believe everybody has got different areas in their life in which it's easy for us to become chaotic. For instance, I wish I was bolder. I've always sat back and I've seen these preachers and they're just courageous and bold. And I said, I wish I was as bold as that preacher is. So I have to work on that all the time. It's hard for me to be bold. Okay. Other people, though, they go out there and they have anger problems. I remember hearing about Brother Gibbs one time, him talking about that. Any of y'all know Brother Gibbs? And he's had several times in his life, he's had to apologize to people when he was out at places because he would throw a fit. He had one woman in a motel, and they gave him a room, and the water didn't work. And he called up down there, and he says, "Why did you give me a room? The water doesn't work." She says, "I know, I gave it to you because I knew you'd be okay with it." And he says, "Okay with it." He said, "Are you stupid?" He said, "What mother were you born to?" You know, and he just went off on her. If you know Brother Gibbs, you know who I'm talking about. You know how I'm talking, okay? But he just went off on this young lady. He says, "Why did you think possibly that I would be okay with you giving me a room as I'm all hot and tired, and I would be okay with that?" And she says, "Well, I thought you'd be okay with it because you came to my college, my Christian college, and you preached at my Christian college, and I knew that you were a man of God, and I knew that you would put yourself aside for just a little while." And he says, "I went, got dressed, and went down there to her desk, and I apologized to her." You know, if he can say that as a preacher, you know what? We, all of us, can have those things. And you know what? That passion is just a little bit cranked the wrong way. There's good things about passion, aren't there? There's good things about being excitable like that. That's what enables you to have a force and courage. But at the same time, don't allow the devil to use that. Let the Holy Spirit guide it. Okay? We have out there, every single one of you that came to church tonight came here in a several-ton killing machine. It's powerful. It's forceful. Whether it's a truck, a van, a car, it is capable of killing people tonight. It's so much power, though, that if you're not careful, to the very slightest sensitivity, you can use it to destroy. But you know what? Tonight, you can also use it to help. It's all about how you use it. Oh, what power there is in the tongue, isn't it? The Bible says that it can set on fire the whole course of nature. But what power there is in the tongue if we use it for the Lord. I had a man one time, he came to me after I preached. And he said, "Wow, that was a good message." He said, "The only thing he said I was waiting for is fire to fall from heaven." I think about this sometimes. What could we set on fire with our tongues if we would just allow ourselves to be completely used of the Lord? Completely sensitive to the Holy Spirit. World War II, they had these gigantic canisters of flammable liquids on their backs. In order to clean out caves, islands where Japanese prisoners were at especially, Japanese troops were at. Because the Japanese were told that the Americans would kill them and eat them so that they wouldn't surrender. Got so bad on one island that not only were men fighting to the death, but they had women taking their children and jumping off the end into the ocean, killing themselves so they could escape the Americans because they were told all sorts of lies about the Americans. And it broke the soldiers' hearts. But can you imagine they had to take those canisters of that fuel there and they had to fire it out there. And just imagine that, all that power, all that force, all that explosiveness. Imagine what you can do with your tongue if you'll just use it for the Lord. If you'll just be sensitive to the Lord. Prayer. It may be that they will present their supplications before the Lord. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I don't think we should ever stop asking the Lord for something that He wants to see until it is done. You say, it may not be that the Lord gives it to us. You know, I've kind of been amazed at this, but some of the preachers that we consider to be the greatest preachers in the history of Christianity, preachers that their messages are still preached today. And yet sometimes those preachers never saw revival. Sometimes the preachers that saw revival were preachers that nobody ever heard of. I mean, they said, I don't know, but they said that Jonathan Edwards was boring. I mean, the man used to write his entire sermon down. He would memorize it, and then he would read it. His head would never look up. And yes, as he was preaching, reading his sermon, they said that there were women out there, wealthy women, women with all their etiquette, started falling to the ground in fear that the earth would open up and swallow them down into hell. I guess it kind of depends on what you pray for, doesn't it? And understanding this, that it's not God's will that every preacher should be used. Sometimes I think I know I've been this way. I say, Lord, I want to see revival. Let it come through me. The other day I was praying and I said, Lord, let it come through someone else. Just, I'd like to see revival. Why do I have to be the one? That's so proud, isn't it? Prayer. Anyway, that's my opinion at least. Then we get to the Bible. But my words and my statutes which I commanded my servant the prophet, did they not take hold of your fathers and they returned? I really feel like we've got to get back to the Word of God. This is the last point. Now, I'm preaching the choir again because we all have a great revere and respect for the Word of God. But how much of what we do in our lives sometimes can be unbiblical because we don't walk with the Lord in the Word? Now, you can do whatever you want to do. I read a lot of the Bible because I feel like I need to read a lot of the Bible. That's what I do. So I read the Bible, right now I'm reading the Bible at least twice a year. That's what I do. Okay? You can do whatever you want to. I read one chapter a day that I study. Sometimes it's half a chapter, it depends on how long it is. Right now I'm doing, sometimes I'll do a chapter in Luke. I've got some other places, I'll do Romans too because I'm in Romans. And I'll do Acts sometimes. But I do a chapter in Luke and they can be 70 verses long. So I might do half a chapter because it takes a while to go through there and read, and then I'll read a commentary to go along with it and I try to learn. But let me tell you, we need to put time into the Word of God. We need to put time into the Word of God. There is no problem. I've had people ask me this. They say, how is it you go outside and preach in the morning, you come back inside here and you preach? I think, honestly, I think I could preach 10 messages every single Sunday with no problem if that's what I needed. How much ever I need to preach, that's how many messages the Lord gives me to preach. Every time. I never have a lack of material. I've had times years ago when I had no idea what to preach. I had a message, but I had no idea what to preach. I didn't feel like it was from the Lord. And I would sit up here on Sunday morning, and I got up here one time, and I had a message with a verse on it, and I read the verse, and I set my notes off to the side, and I just preached a whole different message. I had someone come to me and they said, wow, that was a great message. And I want to tell them, hey, I had no notes, absolutely no notes, and it was just whatever the Lord wanted to give me on that passage. It went a totally different direction than where I thought it was going to go. I learned right then, trust the Lord. If He gives me a message, that's all I need, is whatever the Lord gives me, right? But it comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Word of God. We have to trust the Word of God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 6 says, the law of truth was in his mouth, iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. Oh, we've gone from years ago, grandma and grandpa used to put Bible verses in their wall. Grandson and granddaughter put pictures of Hollywood in their wall. Oh, how far we've gone from the Word of God. We run away from the Word of God. It's so important. Young people today ought to be memorizing Scriptures. As you get older, it's harder to memorize Scripture verse a day. When you're young, you can memorize Scripture verse a day. At least. You can even do more than that if you want to. Okay? Young people can memorize, for times, they can memorize 5, 6, 7 verses a day, 10 verses a day if they want to. If you really apply yourself to it. Any kids that can go along and can know that if they jump in a certain spot in a video game and they're going to go to a secret world, they can also figure out the Bible if they really apply themselves. Remember as a kid, they had this game and you could you do all these karate moves. And you had to press button combinations. A, B, X, and then sweep left. And it would do one move. They had a whole long booklet of different moves that you had in order to do certain combinations. Some of them were very complicated, right? And yet if you memorize those, they were more powerful. If you can memorize all those, you can memorize the Bible. It's all in English. It's easy to understand. It has a flow to it. The power of the Word of God. The weight of truth needs to be in our mouth. Last scripture verses, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses number 3 through 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.